يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. جاء في حديث ما رواه إمام أحمد في مسنده عن طريقة أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه أنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لعدوهم قاهرين، لا يضرهم من خالفهم إلا ما أصابه من اللواء حتى يأتيهم أمر الله وهم كذلك. فبعد ذلك قال الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين، قالوا: يا رسول الله، وأين هم؟ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بيت المقدس وأكناف بيت المقدس. In this particular hadith that we have mentioned, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that there will be people in this ummah that will be upon the truth. They will be victorious over their enemies, and they will be from those that conquer them as well. And these particular individuals, they will not be harmed by anything. They will not be harmed by anything except for trivial matters, up and until the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and it certainly will come. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about this by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, where are these particular individuals? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, Bayt al-Maqdis wa aknafi Bayt al-Maqdis. These particular people will be in Jerusalem and in the surrounding areas. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we all have seen the horrifying images of the atrocities committed by the terrorist state of Israel in Gaza. And we need to call it out as such. It is mentioned in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day, what will He say? He says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has sent down this religion, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى, with His Prophet. And at the end of the day, Islam will be victorious. A lot of times when you see these particular stories, and we see politicians blatantly lying or being willfully ignorant about the plight of our Palestinian Muslim brothers and sisters, and we see corporations doing the same thing, sometimes we feel a sense of hopelessness, that where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting us through these particular tests? Mata nasrullah? When will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us? In today's khutbah, we will start off by talking about the rise and fall of Bani Israel. A particular set of ayat that are not mentioned in the hadith, but rather they are mentioned in the Quran itself, in regards to what happens when people become arrogant in the land and what will be the eventual outcome of them. And in these particular ayat, the fact that it is happening is a realization of the truth of the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the first page of Surah Al-Isra some very powerful verses in regards to the mistakes that Bani Israel will make on account of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting them kingdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran as a warning to Bani Israel as well, and those that descended from them who perverted the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by saying, He says, وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولا تعلن علوا كبيرا. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, I have decreed for Bani Israel, لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين, that you will cause corruption in the land twice. ولا تعلن علوا كبيرا, and you will be extremely arrogant and have a high sense of haughtiness and arrogance. Thereafter, Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, after saying ولا تعلن علوا كبيرا, فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا. On account of them being in this particular situation, being from those that Allah سبحانه وتعالى initially had blessed, and He took them out of the oppression of Fir'aun, and they traveled from there, and they were granted kingdom, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى made it such that Sulaiman عليه السلام, who by the way is part of our ummah and the ummah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and belongs to us. Sulaiman عليه السلام, when he built the first temple, in that particular instance, Bani Israel after some years were given a lot of power and might, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentions this was one of those particular instances. However, as time passed, perhaps 400 or so years later on, and it is mentioned this happened around the time of 600 BC, 600 years before the coming of Isa alayhi salam, in that particular area, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ أُولَاهُمَا, that first coming, that first promise, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا, we sent upon you one of our servants. And the Mufassirun, they mentioned this man was an evil tyrant by the name of Bukhtanasar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent this particular person upon them. بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ, he was one that was severe and had a lot of military power. أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ, he went even into the homes of those particular people. وَكَانَ وَعَدًا مَفْعُولًا, and that is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that happened. Now we see here in this particular instance, which is recorded from the Jewish tradition as well, which is the destruction of the first temple. Even from their own sources, they say that this was actually a test for us on account of us becoming murderous. This is mentioned in the Talmud itself. In their own particular books, they mention the fact that the reason why the first temple was destroyed was on account of their own actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took them out of oppression and He made them leaders, and this was the result after some years. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to say in these particular ayat, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمَ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. After some time passed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave this particular kingdom of Bani Israel. Again, He gave them a second chance. He gave them money, He gave them power, He gave them authority on the earth, and He blessed them again in a second instance, and there were many and numerous in number, and they also had a lot of manpower. Now here we see what is very interesting about this set of ayat. Many of the modern mufassirun, when they look at this particular instance, they see that this is a prediction of what we are seeing right now. And the proof of this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says next. He says, "In ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum." You are people that were first oppressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you out from the oppression of Fir'aun and made you leaders. And in a similar way, we could also say for the Jewish people that you are people that were oppressed. You are from those that faced the Holocaust. And now all of a sudden you have might again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you authority over the earth. What is it that you are going to do with it? In ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good, it is for yourself. Wa in asattum falaha. And likewise, if you do evil, that is for yourself as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ. This is the second time or the second promise when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing here again the fact that He is giving them kingdom twice in which they will cause fasad. He is saying, وَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Your faces will scowl. Your faces will become sour. On account of what? There's a missing clause here, and that is on account of people taking you out and removing you and replacing you. لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدِ. And these particular people, they will enter the masjid. What masjid is this? This is Masjid al-Aqsa being referred to here. وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدِ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ. Just as they had entered it the first time. When we hear this, one of the impressions that we get here is these particular people that will remove Bani Israel. They once at a particular time in history also were from those that had the command or the control of Masjid al-Aqsa. وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And they will enter it just as they entered it the first time. Under the command of whom? Under the command of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, an individual that stood for justice. وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا. And they will destroy all of the oppression, all of the things that he had built up on account of this particular issue. People should not be from those that feels as though they can be from those that are oppressing others, and there will be no retribution for them. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, even for those particular people that were oppressed and they don't get anything out of it in this life except for death, at the end of the day they will be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, and this should be a reminder to us when you see those horrific pictures and images of children, of those that are women that are being massacred, those that are being said to them and they're shooting them to cripple. They have a policy in the Israeli army to say we shoot to cripple. This is a known fact by them. They have used white phosphorus, and the world is ignoring all of these particular atrocities and turning a blind eye to all of this, even though it is all documented. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? They know this is true. They know they are doing these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, O people of the book, why are you covering up truth with falsehood? Why are you mixing the two and portraying what you are saying as truth, even though internally you know that you are wrong in this particular instance? So here we need to understand the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise will certainly come true. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in regards to, again, those that were particularly oppressed? And we can mention here the situation of the people of Ashab al-Ukhdud, the people of the trench that was mentioned about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in Surah al-Buruj. Qutila Ashab al-Ukhdud, the people of the trench, what happened to them? It is mentioned about them that there was an evil ruler that made a trench, and he put in this trench some fire, he lit it up, and he told people that you need to jump in if you are from those that testifies none is worthy of worship but Allah. And there were people that were forced into this, and they were forced to fall in. From a person who is living in this dunya, their perspective is that that person is in a state of loss. They have lost their life. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. That is the great victory, because that person stood fast to the deen of Islam, even though people wanted to cut them in half with a saw. It did not matter at the end of the day. If you are one that stands for truth, one that stands for Islam, at the end of the day, you will be from those that are successful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that He mentions in the Quran. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون انما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الابصار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not heedless. He is not ignorant about those people that are being oppressive. He is simply delaying them until a day in which their eyes will stare in horror on account of the actions that they had particularly done on those situations. Brothers and sisters, there are many other instances that we see in this particular area in which there is not simply a battle on the battlefields, but rather there's a battle in terms of media as well, in which people are saying certain things, perhaps about the deen of Islam, perhaps about our brothers and sisters, giving them labels, saying they have done certain atrocities, having killed 40 babies, having perhaps mowed down people in certain concerts and the like. The first thing as a Muslim we need to understand whenever we hear these particular stories is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. That if a fasiq, that if a transgressor comes to you with any information, then be one that verifies it. And there are no greater fusaq than these people. The same individuals that claim that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq only to go in there and kill over 1 million people. Are you going to listen and believe what those types of people have to say? And we find that unfortunately, from every level of government, from our mayor, from our premier, from our prime minister, from the leader of the opposition, all of these people blindly are supporting one side. And when you see a person doing this, then you need to understand that this person is either being willfully ignorant or they are lying. When you find a person that at the very least understands the 70 plus years of the struggle of the people of Gaza, and they make it such that they say at the very least that no civilian should lose their life, people have the right to their home, people have the right to rightful resistance. When you see people saying this, stress and being balanced, then you can say that at least this person is using their brain. If they are not doing so, and they are being in this particular category of only seeing one particular side and being willfully ignorant of the other one, they are complicit in the actions of Israel and their atrocities against other human beings. We may also find, however, having said all of these things, that there might be particular people that were killed, wrongfully so. And as Muslims, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُنْ قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ, that O you who believe, be people that are just, even if it is against your family, even if it is against your close kindred, even if it is against people of your religion. Our religion is one of justice. We are not people that if a person who is a Muslim kills a person who is not Muslim and not a non-combatant, we are going to automatically praise them or ignore it, as the people on the other side are doing. And it is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ethics of warfare that he mentioned 1400 plus years ago, when there was no Geneva Convention, and we don't need the Geneva Convention, because at the end of the day, secular liberalism only causes atrocities throughout the world wherever they were. For hundreds of years of colonialism, we see what they did to Muslimin, and then after that they want to be the benchmark of morality and a standard for the rest of the world to follow. When we see all of the oppression and the mistakes that we have made, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the battle of Hunain, it is mentioned that a woman lost her life, and she was one that was a civilian. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when other people had, this was foreign to their mindset, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on to say, naha an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam an qatl as-subyan wa an-nisa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the killing of a child or that of a woman, especially those that are non-combatants. Who said this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1400 plus years ago. We don't need the Geneva Convention to tell us this. We understand this as a principle. Having said that, there might be some particular Muslims, because of the fact that they were oppressed for so long, and because of the fact that now they are seeing perhaps some light at the end of the tunnel, they are getting excited and they may have made a mistake. Then what do we do for those particular situations? And this shows the balance of Islam. This shows the balance of Islam. We need to go into history, and it's extremely important for a person to know the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when a person knows this, they understand truth from falsehood. They understand the way to go forward. It is mentioned in a very interesting story that when An-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a group of the Sahaba to give da'wah to the people of Banu Jadima, this particular story, we see the balance and the truth and the justice of Islam. An-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent a group of people led by Khalid ibn Walid to Banu Jadima. When he sent them there, Khalid ibn Walid, when he was received by Banu Jadima, as it was the habit of that particular tribe, whenever a visitor came, they would come out with all of their weapons. It did not necessarily mean they meant to fight, but that was just their habit. When Khalid ibn Walid saw this, the first thing he told them to do was put down your arms. Put down your arms. And these people, when they put down their arms, unlike what Khalid was expecting, he was expecting them to say, Aslamna, we submit or we surrender. He was expecting them to say this, but they did not say this. They said a different set of words, and they said, Saba'na, we have turned. Now this particular statement of Saba'na can be understood in two different ways. And this also goes to show in our personal lives as Muslimin, whenever a Muslim or a person says something to us, then we should try to interpret it in the best way. Have husn al-dhan in regards to your interpretation of their words, because if you do not, you will fall into the trap that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anh did so here. So when they said Saba'na, he interpreted this as that we are turning away from the deen of Islam into kufr. But rather what they meant by this is that we are turning from kufr into the deen of Islam. And Khalid ibn Walid, he ended up killing many of these people, even after they had surrendered. And in this particular instant as well, Khalid ibn Walid, he told some of the Sahaba to take these people as captives. And when they were taken as captives, he told each one of these Sahaba to kill the captive that you had. Many of them, they objected. Among them was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anh, the son of Umar ibn Khattab. He was one that felt uncomfortable about doing this. This matter was eventually brought to whom? To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see here the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a Muslim killed a civilian. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this particular instant, what did he say? He raised his hands up and he made dua. Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a Khalid. And he said this twice. Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a Khalid. Oh Allah, I free myself from the actions of Khalid. Now how from this we get a number of different lessons. The first of which is we see here the Prophet ﷺ explicitly was against the killing of civilians. And we see here also that later on, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? And this shows the justice of Islam. And this is our encouragement to our Muslim brothers and sisters, the Mujahideen in fact themselves can take advice from this. That what did the Prophet ﷺ do in that event of a mistake? He told Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, go out to Banu Jadima and find out these particular people that may have lost a family member and give them the blood money. He gave them a lot of blood money. He gave them a lot of money. And he said, compensate all of them. And there was extra to be left over. And he said, give that all to them as well. And thereafter, once this happened again, the Prophet ﷺ raised his hand up and made the exact same dua. And he said it three times now. Wherein he said, Allahumma, Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a Khalid. Oh Allah, I clear myself. I free myself from the actions of Khalid. Now here we see something else as well. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Did he say I free myself from Khalid? Did he say I free myself from Khalid as a person? No. What he said is he said Khalid made a mistake. He killed a civilian. I free myself from his mistake. But at the end of the day, who is Khalid ibn Walid? He is Saifullah al-Maslul. He is the unsheathed sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that caused victory after victory for the Muslimin, even after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the commander that has never lost in single combat. He is the sword of Allah. And at the end of the day, he still ended up making a mistake. And as Muslimin, we may see our Muslim brothers making mistakes in that particular area. Our response is to be one that is balanced. That tell them that if this particular thing happened, then don't do it again. And from the justice of Islam, pay back those people that we may have done this too. Do you think the other side would ever do this? And this goes to show that there's no moral equivalence. We are different than them. They are not the same as us at all. Not in the least in terms of the atrocities and things that they have done. We are a people of balance, a people of justice, people that do not lie when other people are killed. And this again comes from the justice of Islam. Here he said, I free myself from the actions of Khalid. He never once said, I free myself from Khalid. And at the same time, now you have politicians that are expecting us to say we free ourselves from all of the Mujahideen, all of those that are fighting on account of Bayt al-Maqdis, and side with them. Those same individuals that are complicit in supporting Israel and the allies of Israel, who are sending them weapons after weapons. White phosphorus was also used in this particular battle. And we see how much worse and worse it's going to get. And in this particular area, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَا يَتَّخِذَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَ أَمِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That do not take a disbeliever as your awliya, as your wali instead of a believer. Correct the mistakes of the believer. But at the end of the day, even if you disagree, that person testifies that none is worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to make this explicitly and very clear that we are not going to be from those that are going to be gaslighted and from those that decide to side with those that don't have iman when those same individuals are complicit in sending weapons and arms to those that are killing our Muslim brothers and sisters. Another point is we may have the question that what is it that we can do? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith narrated in the Musnad Imam Ahmad, he said, Jahidu al-mushrikeen, make jihad against those that disbelieve. With what? He says, bi al-sinatikum, with your tongue, bi amwalikum, with your money, and bi anfusikum, and with yourself. The first point is that let us get the word out. Let us do what we can, whatever we can on social media, to make videos, to clarify the truth, so that people may understand the reality of our position and the reality of Islam. The governments are not going to do this, unfortunately. They are blind to the truth, even though they know the actual truth. They are blind to wanting to look at multiple sides. But as our job as Muslimin is speak about it as much as you can. To your co-workers, online, offline, make videos and get the word out, as we see many brothers and sisters already doing. The second point here is bi amwalikum. Do what you can with your money. Understand that if there's any organization that gives their money or tacit approval or shows the sign of support of the Zionist flag, that understand that you need to boycott them with your money. This is a reality which happened from early on in Islam. Even for example, McDonald's, and we can call them out by name. It is mentioned that they are giving free burgers to the IDF. Go and kill our Muslim brothers and sisters. Here's some free burgers. As a Muslim, you need to understand this and be from those that uses your money effectively and use this as a means of warfare, because they are causing war against our Muslim brothers and sisters. That is the second point in regards to our money. And the third point here is bi anfusikum. Yes, we believe in jihad, it is a part of Islam. We do not believe in the killing of innocents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that when the Muslimin initially were being oppressed, do nothing. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He finally gives the permission, wherein He says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. That now permission has been given because we were patient for so long. At the end of the day, we need to push back. And we need to be from those that understands jihad is a part of Islam. We are not saying we're going to kill innocents. But at the same time, if people are going to attack us, we have the absolute right to defend ourselves from this particular area. And we also see that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions in a hadith that if this ummah is to be disgraced, one of the ways that this will happen is إِذَا تَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ. That if you leave jihad, then it will be such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause those that are going to oppress you to overtake you, and you will not gain any of this izzah and honor back up and until you go back to it. We support our Muslim brothers in their right to resist. The United Nations also gives this right as well. We are not being violent. And at the end of the day, we need to understand all of these particular things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory to Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make from us from those that also grants victory to Islam. This land is called Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, the honored and the sacred land. This land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, Masjid Al-Aqsa Alladhi Barakna Hawla. This masjid and everything around it is blessed. It is the land of the prophets, and the prophets belong to Islam. They do not belong to any other ideology, because they were, at the end of the day, they were Muslimin. The prophets are from the deen of Islam. And if a person is feeling saddened, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not grieve, do not distress. As Muslims, you will be successful at the end of the day if you have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, for those that think that just because they have the backing of the greatest superpower in the world, that they are going to be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ. We helped you at Badr and you were less in number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Dawood and Jalut. Again, Dawood alayhi salam, although they might claim David, he belongs to the deen of Islam in that exact same land. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, in the end of the first juz of the Quran? He said that when they saw them, the people of Dawood and his army, they said that قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. That we have no ability over Jalut, this tyrant, and his army. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the people of belief? What is their response? قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. The people that have belief, they say, how many times has it been that a small army was able to overcome a much larger army? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those that are patient. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They were destroyed by the plot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not preaching hatred against our Jewish brothers and sisters. We are saying that at the end of the day, if they were upon the right path, the path of Musa, the path of Isa, then look into the fact that even in the Talmud itself, it mentions the reason for the destruction of the first temple. And that is a heed that they need to take, and take heed to, and be from the ones that tells their own members of their own faith, that if you are going to go down this path, you are going to be from those that will ultimately be destroyed in this life, or the next life, or perhaps even both. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the Muslimin izzah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that never shy away from our faith. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever wishes to help the deen of Islam, assist him. And the one that wishes to destroy the deen of Islam and the Muslims of the deen of Islam, and also Masjid Al-Aqsa, the most holy site in Islam after Mecca and Medina, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys them as well. And we need to be one that voices our concern in this particular area and be unabashed and unashamed about our position when it comes to all of these issues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this ummah victory. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لذي مالكم ولسال المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفر إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمد وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضلا وشرفا لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في فلسطين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم انصر المسلمين المجاهدين في غزة. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا قوي يا عزيز. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.